This is a CKTZ news update. I'm Lonnie Taylor. There is an improv theater movement re-emerging on Cortez Island, and I am here with some of the movers and shakers, Colin Funk and Connie Brill, to find out what the history of improv on Cortez was and what we're looking at into the horizon.
Awesome. It's been a brief history, 10 years actually, when we first came to Cortez and had a couple of open improv nights and had a
good turnout.
Yeah, even back then, we were at the Gorge and Manson's Hall.
And the multipurpose
in Clahoose as well.
Yeah.
And from there, we also spent a fair bit of time working with the Children's Forest. And Connie, you might want to talk about that, where the improv was a really great start point to get the kids working on a production.
Yeah. With the Children's Forest, we did two productions that they improvised, created, and then we helped to script. And it had about 14, 15 kids involved in it over a course of 3 to 4 years. And they even took their performance to Quadra and Campbell River, the final performance we did, and they were very well received. So I think it was a really good experience for introducing some of the kids to more formalized theater.
We helped out in the elementary school too, and that was a bit of a surprise for them because they were used to a scripted play. And it was near Christmas time, and
yeah,
we had the kids work on their own Christmas play. And so we like that process in that it allows the kids or anybody to connect with each other, find common bonds with each other in a very different way, and tap into their creativity.
Particularly for the youth, it's finding their voice. So when they see what they wrote or their idea come to life, it's a good tool.
It was funny on the parallel track, it was the adults that we were holding some sessions for, and it was fascinating. A lot of them would come to the sessions and then realize it wasn't improv comedy night to watch, but they were to be part of the situation. And some of them, it just would strike terror in their eyes and they would turn around and leave. Others were like slightly curious. They'd be a bit of a wallflower and then they would come into the circle. But very quickly, people would realize that the process that we've been using for 20, 30 years
maybe longer
for me, is a really inclusive, safe, fun process. And people were usually quite pleasantly surprised and a whole different orientation to say, wow, this is an amazing way to connect with others. I can't believe some of the concepts and principles that are attached to this work that have such powerful parallel meaning in one's personal life. So, for us, the improv is not so much about creating a big theater presence of the traditional onstage stuff, but just starting at that base level to make friends. So that's a bit of a history. From there, we had a number of keeners. We probably got to about 3-4 years after that, a group of about 10 people that really were committed to meeting weekly, you know, in the spring or the fall, and we formed this little troupe called the Laughing Mussels, not to be confused with the Laughing Oyster, which is a restaurant.
Although
the Laughing Mussels performing at the Laughing Oyster would have been that could still be in the cards.
That could happen.
But we would practice, after a while, we could really connect as an ensemble, and we all had different ways and different character types and strengths.
Yeah.
We did a number of little performances at the Gorge for Oyster Fest. The co-op, we would do some coffee houses and performances. The idea at that point was for us to be the front end of a fundraiser for some of the nonprofits. We thought that would be a really great way to help. And then just as we were in our blossoming, COVID hit. And we're like, whoa. And we decided to keep going. And we actually tried the online stuff. And it was interesting.
It had
spotty
success.
We got to some pretty creative ways of doing online stuff. But again, us being present was so important. We actually were at our place here a few times and we would we had a 6-foot lengths of rope that we would tie to each other and trees and poles. So we'd always have the distance. And that became a whole comedy show, just watching us try to interact. So that was, that kind of gave us a big pause. And we're at a point now of reemerging, and we're doing it in concert with us launching a long-term dream of Rewild Theater. We ran a group called Precipice Theater for many years.
Out of Banff.
Out of Banff. And it had a big focus on environmental awareness, community health. And we like the idea of rewild as, of course, the concept of rewilding spaces, both ourselves, community, and the natural world. So we're using the improv now as a way to attract people to connecting in community, but also the bigger space that could emerge with Rewild Theater.
Amazing. So where is the location of your current improv gatherings?
We're at
Manson's Hall.
Yes. And actually, I must say that we're there because it's easiest for us right now, but I would see us also hosting things in the Gorge and also with the Clohus facility up there as well. And to move around. We can also perform and rehearse on the grass, on the beach. So I think once we move around Ireland over the next few months, we'll start to see. Yeah. We're building interest right now. This month, Friday nights, 6:30 to 8 at Manson's Hall. And yeah, that should be fun. People still may think that it's Friday night improv. And we always have a few minutes at the end of the evening where we just do scenes and skits, but it's in-house.
Yeah, it's completely in-house.
This group, because we met in June and July, right away I was thinking, these folks are almost ready for prime time. So I don't think it'll be long before we'll be out in the community doing some stuff. It's just such a easy technology, right? It's empty space and a few chairs or bums on the grass.
Knowing people.
Yeah, so that's what I like. No set pieces, big costume pieces, no transport trucks, lights. It's just empty space.
And not days and days of rehearsal.
Yes.
The beauty of improv.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you started meeting up in June and July, and you already have a pretty impressive group. About how many people are showing up on a regular basis?
The sessions in the June, July averaged about 8 to 12. And overall, I'd say we had about 20 different people, at least 20. Yeah.
And we've got a list of about 20, 25 people. And I think there's a number of people out there that always say, oh, are you having improv? Or I think there's a much bigger network.
Yeah.
So I think for me with Cortez, it's just trying to set up a pattern, right? Just so that people know that, oh, Friday nights or this month it's here, this month it's there. So we're just trying to figure out what's the pattern. And there's a number of members now who could lead those sessions. Yeah. It's basically warm up and then introduce some techniques and then play.
Yeah,
so it's like a very simple 1-2-3 step process.
Very much. I always love to relate it to ballet. You go in, you do your warm-ups, then you do your floor movement, and then you go into the performance. And that's exactly what it is. You have to warm up the muscles.
The laughing muscles.
Yes.
And we do. It's so cool to just have a group of people that show up and you literally laugh for an hour and a half. And you're not watching Netflix, you're not listening to a podcast, you're literally just creating a circle. And there's a number of really cool structures that allow people to connect and just share their humor, their creative spirit. It's pretty great technology.
Yeah, technology.
It sounds like a powerful medicine. I am really intrigued by a comment you made earlier about how people come and realize that they're surprised that certain principles are parallel to other aspects of our life.
Yeah.
Do you want to elaborate on that at all?
Yeah, I mean, there's many, but one that seems to resonate the most is this whole idea when you're on stage, if you shift your focus to making the other person look good rather than yourself, you almost always become incredibly successful in whatever the narrative structure is. It's retraining ourselves because our first response is, I'm scared. I need to be clever to make sure I don't embarrass myself and I look good. So if you let go of that and you say, my one and only goal is to make that other player look good, you take away all that anxiety and all of a sudden you're in flow. And people really like that concept of, wow, what if I live my life by focusing more on how to make those in my family, in my friend group look good, rather than how am I looking good to them? And it's hard. I've been trying to master that for 40, 50 years. You know, I was a kid actor, but it is a profound piece. And when you land on it, you feel it, you know it, but it doesn't come naturally because power of our ego. That's just one of the challenges. Yeah, that really is the number one thing, I think, is just how to make others look good.
Over all the time that you have both been working in this genre with communities, various communities, what kind of progression do you see in the humans that you're working with, like on a mental health level or a social level? What do you see from this kind of work?
For me, I've done a lot of work with the youth, and for me, the really wonderful thing isn't seeing someone necessarily with their star performance. It's them finding voice. And with the youth, when a child finds a way to express themselves and feel safe doing so, to me, that was the greatest thing in working with the youth. Yeah. You know, some of them came there initially thinking, oh, I'm going to be a star. And some of those kids who often grabbed the spotlight had to learn to step back to allow others to shine. And the ones who were really shy. And when you work as an ensemble, it happens because everyone's important. There is no star. There are different strengths, but there are no stars. And it's about, as Colin was saying, making the others look good. And when you aren't focusing as much on yourself and you're trying to help, especially those who are struggling to find their voice, it's really lovely to see. I really like that part.
Yeah, I would agree. The only thing I'd add to that is after doing this for 30, 40 years, you get people you bump into who had an experience earlier on. And it's fascinating to hear. So what was that all about? And generally it's, wow, that kind of experience pushed me into a different direction. And I think that's the beauty of the improv work and even the theater work. It gives you permission to think in a different way and see things differently. And some of the kids we worked with in Banff and all through Western Canada, and we get comments, we meet up and they're adults now and doing this. They still remember those experiences. There's something very visceral and powerful in terms of how these experiences imprint them. And generally it's around, it helped me break out of a paradigm, or it gave me a new set of glasses, a new lens to see things differently. So those are just, you know, some really beautiful kind of learnings with a very simple tool. And I think we're both really blessed by having a background, and we all fell into it accidentally, but thank goodness we did.
Well, and it really is one of those things where you have to have there's not instant results. Mm. We don't hear someone come and do a few sessions and go, oh, my life has changed. But it is this thing of the youth we are working with in Banff and some young people who were there in the service interested in that. And then we'll get a note from someone or people you've worked with through the Banff Center and that doing improv. And all of a sudden you'll get a note saying, thank you. And it's, oh, I didn't even know that this had any impact on them. They didn't seem to be that engaged. But you can't judge it by can't judge it by laughter. You can't judge it by how engaged they seem. It's what it gives them.
But they carry forward. Pretty great work. So come on out. Join, exercise your laughing muscle. See if you find one.
Lonnie Taylor, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.